what changed at half time?
Yeah, good question. It was similar as the first half, is that we were giving ourselves opportunities, but what changed is we were able to convert some of those chances and apply some scoreboard pressure. And we were playing well, but we were frustrated as players and coaches because, you know, we had 33 inside 50s for 3 goals. and that's not going to win you too many games of footy, albeit because we defended so well, we're still in front at half time. But we're not going to win too many games of footy with that sort of conversion rate. So, in the second half, we took our chances a bit better, opened up the spaces a bit better, and just directed our opportunities to teammates in better space in the third quarter. And that split the game open, which was really pleasing.
James Sicily has given you probably some headaches this year, but I imagine he's a pretty happy boy, or you're a happy boy with him.
Yeah, well, and that was part of it too. You know, he's a beautiful kick, and you know, converted 3 chances. You know, I think we got five goals out of our half backers tonight, with Hardwick kicking one, Gunston one, and 3 assists. So, of which four of those came in the third quarter. So. And that was pretty important for us. You know, we had probably a reflection of the game in a sense that was, with 61 inside 50s to 35 or thereabouts. I think in the end, you know, the game was obviously played in our half of the ground, so it's going to bring your halfbacks into the game from time to time. But we just found a way to use them a bit better in the third quarter than what we'd done in the first part of the game.
It was a real weapon for you, though, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, he's a beautiful kick, and reads the ball off the opposition boot really, really well. So with he and Gunston, you know, Gunston's been really important since he's gone back there over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and put Jarman Impey back there in this particular game, and Taylor Giray went forward. So we just changed up our mix a little bit, and we did. That's just a work in progress for us, and we'll just see how that all goes. But it just gave us a little bit of a different look in both our front end and our back end.
You'd like to bring Gunston forward, given you were probably frustrated.
What's that, sorry?
Did you consider putting Jack Gunston forward, given you were frustrated and being unable to
convert? Yeah, I don't think it was so much who was on the end of the ball. It's just their decisions with the ball going inside our 50 and across the arc. So. We could have made a change, but we thought the worrying thing for us, I suppose, is that we didn't take our opportunities in the first half, and were the Crows going to come in the third quarter? Because quite often you'll have a period where you should get scoreboard pressure on opposition, and then you don't capitalise, and then opposition take advantage of that. And that's what was pleasing about the third quarter, is that. We continue to play in the same sort of vein, but all of a sudden we got our chances. So, it didn't even come across our mind to take Jack from halfback, because he was doing quite well in that role. And the way that we defended over the course of the night was really, really pleasing. But to the defence of the Crows, you know, they've got some key personnel missing from their side, and it was a good effort by us to defend, but they weren't moving the ball in the manner that they normally do, because they've had so many of their key players missing from the game.
How difficult was it losing James Frawley so close to the start of the game? But you would have been delighted with the way the defence worked to keep the Crows to such a, I think it's their third lowest score ever.
Yeah, that was really pleasing, and it was a difficult situation because. He's had a couple of episodes with those migraines over the last couple of years, and he got one this afternoon, and it was any migraine I think is serious, but he rang the club and told us he was just a little bit scratchy, but he'd like to see how he could go over the next 2 or 3 hours leading into the game. So we warmed him up, and he's. He's such a tough bugger, Chipper, that he wanted to play, but it was mainly his teammates and him himself who ended up realising, listen, they're just going to be probably at 70 or 80%, and we just didn't want to take a punt. You know, their key forwards in Jenkins and Walker, and obviously Eddie, who's really potent. Not that Chipper would play on him all that often, but we just didn't want to take a punt with a guy that was a little bit scratchy. We had a fresh guy there in Brandy who was ready to come in and play if we needed him, and that was the call that we made. So I haven't actually asked the docs or Andrew Russell how Chipper is, but I think it was the right call to make.
Did you go to roughly the goals and get Taylor away from the drop of the ball?
No, it wasn't. We didn't have a plan for that. He's been a great defender and for a long period of time, but it was more about us trying to generate some opportunities for a variety of methods going inside 50. But we just, as I said earlier, we just didn't use the ball anywhere near as much, and it might have looked like we were kicking it away from the Taylor Ruffhead contest, but that certainly wasn't the instruction. But he's a good player, and as it turned out, he didn't have a big influence on the game, only because we kicked it off the side of our boot so often going inside 50.
Daniel Howard dropped to the VFL earlier in the year, but played a really big role in that third quarter. He was pleased with how he's responded.
Yeah, well, he only played the VFL because he missed the game because we needed to give him a rest. He's had a big workload, and then we just didn't have the right balance for him to play the particular game for him to come back in. So he played one game at Box Hill, but he played really well tonight, particularly in the second half. He had really, really influential. I think he might have had nearly 20 touches in the second half of the game. And when the game opened up, he was doing some really good work on the inside, getting the ball out to some of our guys on the outside, which was important for us.
Around the clearances as you got in that third quarter?
That was a real purple patch that we had, and Mitchell and Burgoyne, O'Meara, those sorts of guys, Howie. That was really important for us because Adelaide are a real class act in that part of the game. They're in the top three or four in ground balls and contested balls and that sort of stuff over the course of the season, and it was an area of their game that they've worked really hard on over the last couple of years, and that's been reflected in their better performances in that space of the ground. So, it was an area of the game that we needed to get better at as well, and we're really pleased with that part of the game in the second half.
I feel like as a team, you're really getting right back to where you need to be after that three-game run there?
Oh, we've still got a lot of work to do. 12-16 from 61 inside 50 entries that suggest that we've still got some growth and improvement, and I hope that's exciting for our players and our supporters. We know that we can compete, and we've been pretty good at being able to restrict opposition sides to low scores outside of that shocker that we had against the Lions about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where we gave up about 20 goals to the Lions. But outside of that, we've been able to defend pretty well over the course of the season. But our trouble over the last 4 or 5 weeks has just been able to kick a big enough score to win. And we just got over the line against Port Adelaide, only kicking 9 goals, and it was a good effort to win convincingly tonight. But we still only kicked 12, and but we had 28 shots from 61 entries. If we could get those shots up around 35 from 61 entries, then you're likely to be kicking 7 or 18 goals, and you're unlikely to lose when you're kicking that sort of number of goals.
Where does Sean Burgoyne sit for you, Alistair, and your players that you've coached?
Oh, gee whiz, we've had some beauties, but it'd be on a level right at the top with a whole heap of others. Our club has been really fortunate over the last 10 years to have some really highly decorated servants play for our club. Great players, but great characters and great competitors, and Sean is one of those. He's sharing this milestone with both the Hawthorn and Port Adelaide footy clubs. He's served both clubs with great dignity, and he's going to go down as one of the game's greats. And I don't think he's finished yet either. I think he's still got some good footy left in him, and hopefully he he keeps his body in good shape and gives himself a chance to go around again next year. And we've just taken it year by year for the last nine. and who knows if they're going to be a 10th or 11th, but we're hoping so.
What do you weigh up when it comes to him at the end of the year? Because obviously you've made a habit over the years of sort of one or two veterans sort of departing. What do you weigh up with Sean?
Here we go, the light's going. There's so much time to go, yeah. Most of the time it's just around the... It could be motivation levels, or it could be... at the end of the day, it's not just a decision made by the club. In so many of these cases, it's a decision made with the player. But in most instances, either the body's letting them down, or they lose a yard of speed, or their motivation to play and just compete. It's a tough game to just keep fighting away at for 15, 16 years. And sometimes just the hunger to actually put yourself through all the training and the challenge of getting yourself up to week to week, it can be tough. And so they're the things that we look for. But in any of those things, we haven't seen one iota of evidence that Sean's vulnerable to any one of those three. So I hope that he continues next year, but we'll have a chat about that over the next 6 or 7 weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.